glad you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, October 5th, 2023. Do you feel like it's getting harder and harder to enter into a meaningful conversation these days? Either people want to keep things shallow on the surface, or they want to go deep into controversial topics and strife. How do we return to a loving, meaningful, and beneficial conversation? Our guest today on Mark and Friends is Heather Holloman, author of The Six Conversations, Pathways to Connecting Again in an Age of Isolation and Incivility by Moody Publishers. Thanks so much for joining us, Heather, on Mark and Friends.
I'm so glad to join your program. This is going to be a great conversation.
Thanks so much. You know, this topic really hit home to me because it really is noticeable in so many of the circles that I have been moving in. So what motivated you to write this book?
I was really motivated by three things, Donna: the epidemic of loneliness on college campuses and all of the research I was reading about how people just are reporting increasing levels of loneliness and isolation. Second, I became really concerned about the health effects of chronic loneliness and how it's really destroying our health that we're not able to have warm connections with others. And the last reason was the Harvard Grant study, which is the longest research ever conducted, trying to answer the question, what's the single most determining factor of a happy life? And the answer was warm connections. And my students would say, well, how do we get those, Dr. H? Teach us about the warm connections. So I was highly motivated for the health reasons. And then finally, of course, just someone who loves to talk about Jesus, I wanted to really help people be able to have the warm connections that would lead to great conversations about their faith.
It's so rich. It's so good. And you talk about four mindsets of a loving conversation. Let's dig into those mindsets.
Well, I really spent a lot of time researching the kind of things you need to be thinking even before you start a conversation because, you know, I have people that give me lists of questions or they give me all these practical tools about what to do in conversation. But if my mindset is not right, I'm not going to have that loving connection. So all the social science research says you need to do four things in any conversation. You need to be curious, believe the best, express concern, and share your life. And most people are deficient in one of those areas. And Donna, what really delighted me, the research is showing we need to do those things, but finally the social science is catching up to what the Bible has been telling us all along about how to love people.
Isn't that true? I mean, it's right there. I was listening to a podcast by a very famous podcaster, and he was saying, you know, as humans, we don't have a rule book. We don't have like an instruction manual to how to be a good human. And I thought, who's going to tell him that it's been written and it's right there? So let's start with your curious. You know, how does that play out? I am a very curious person. And honestly, most of my relationships, it starts with me asking a question. And because I just think, you know, if you can get people talking about themselves, about something they care about, then that's a wonderful basis for a conversation.
It is, but sadly, most people are not good at asking questions. And I'll talk to my students and they'll say, you know, I went on a date and the guy did not ask me one question about my life. Or, you know, my husband and I were out with a couple for 8 hours. We were so excited to meet with this, you know, godly couple. Donna, they did not ask us one question about our lives. And so the research shows that you really need to grow in the art of what's called interpersonal curiosity, being curious about other people. Now, that's exactly what Paul tells us to do in Philippians 2 as we take on the interests of other people, or think about Galatians 6, you know, carrying one another's burdens. And so what the book talks about is how to be curious about people. So I give six pathways of how to ask good questions rooted in all the dimensions of what it means to be human, so you'll never get lost starting or continuing a loving conversation again.
It's so rich. I'm telling you, if you really want to take a conversation to the next level, just ask a person a question. It seems so basic, but
it really does.
How are we missing that?
Well, I think It's interesting. Some people are just selfish, I'll be honest. I told a professor about this research, and he said, well, I know why I'm lonely. I'm just not interested in other people. Why would I care about them? And so there's a lot of self-obsession. But the other reason people aren't curious is maybe they've been taught from their culture that it's rude to ask personal questions. The third thing that maybe they feel is that it's awkward and people don't enjoy personal questions. But all the research shows that when you ask someone a loving and generous, meaningful question, it's pleasurable for the brain. It releases dopamine, and it's just a wonderful thing to think, okay, I'm going to ask this person a question. It shows them dignity. It lets another person know that you want to learn from them, that you believe they have infinite value, and that every person you meet has a one-of-a-kind point of view on the universe just because of who they are. So you can develop the skills. Forbes magazine called curiosity the number one professional development skill for young people. So it's a good time to start teaching your kids how to be curious about other people.
I just find people fascinating. I mean, I guess I know all about me. You know, I've spent enough time with myself, so I'm just very fascinated about what other people are going through, what makes them tick. And I just feel like that really can be a superpower in someone's life.
Were you that way when you were a little girl, Donna, or did you remember becoming curious?
No, I think I was more on the curious side. I just found people very interesting. So it was probably nothing I had to really work at.
Well, I it's rare, so you're probably a wonderful friend, but you're probably the person asking all the questions, you know, in your family and with your friendships. So you're like my students who say, what do? I'm asking all the questions. How do I get the other person to ask me something? Do you find yourself in that situation?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And, you know, the thing is, the Lord's working on me, and he's saying, Donna, just relax. The thing is, I'm on the radio, so I'm chatting everybody up all the time in this one, you know, sided conversation. So they always have to listen to me. And so here I am, you know, always in their ear. I guess the Lord's just saying, you get airtime, honey, you know, don't worry.
Oh, that's sweet.
You're going to get your airtime, babe, but just now give other people airtime. Let them talk.
Oh,
and
I love that.
So, yeah, he's growing me in this area. It's okay if people do not know my every inner thought.
You know, sometimes, though, if I do want a warm connection with someone and I don't want to just be like an interviewer, I'll say to them, here is the question I'm secretly hoping you'll ask me, you know, to make it easy for them, Donna. Or I'll say, I've loved asking you all these questions. I can't wait to hear what question you want to ask me now. So my students, they'll try that out on dates, or you can try it, you know, with your husband, you know, your spouse, if you feel disconnected, or with your children, to do conversation training at the table. But I would say of the four mindsets, curiosity is where most people struggle, or they struggle believing the best about people. That's where I feel like the culture is right now, don't you?
Absolutely. And that is your second one. Talk about that. Believing the best.
Well, believing the best about people means you choose to have what the technical research term is unconditional positive regard, which basically sounds very biblical to me. It's honoring people above yourselves. It's Romans 12, you know, outdo one another in showing honor. Bless those who persecute you. When you believe the best about someone, you believe that there's a story behind everything they believe. And what if instead of being upset with someone because they voted for a different candidate, you said, I can tell you care so passionately about this issue. I would love to know the story of when you started believing the things that you believe. So when you believe the best, you believe you can actually learn from someone. My students, though, and others, when I do training in how to have a warm connection, they'll say that's actually not the first thing going through my mind, believing the best. Instead, I'm wondering, you know, what did this person believe about vaccines? Who did they vote for? You know, what do they believe about Roe v. Wade? And so we're just approaching people with so much suspicion and division. And if you think about the Holy Spirit as a spirit of unity, and just the love that Jesus had when he approached people, it's really convicting to think, can I really believe the best about people, that I can learn from them? It's difficult. I mean, we live on a street with people that are all different beliefs, all different lifestyles. Donna, I've had to put this into practice every day of my life, believing the best about people.
You know, the Lord opened my eyes to this because, you know, to get past, like you said, all the roadblocks, And I have to go back to the truth that God sees value and worth in every human being, and that they're actually worth a priceless blood of Jesus. So when I can put that price tag on them, and I have to say to myself, he valued them so much that he died for them, then how am I to disregard their value? Yep, their minds might not be in the right place as far as he's concerned, but that does not diminish their incredible value. So this has helped me so much just get over, right, what they have been thinking and being a part of, and just say, they have value.
Well, they do. And the hardest part of the research for me, according to the Yale Relationship Lab, it's not enough just to believe it in your heart. You actually have to express what's called liking. And it's a closeness-enhancing behavior to express that you actually like someone. So I'll often challenge people to take out their phone or to go across the street to their neighbor and say something nice to them, like, I really appreciated when you did this thing, or I noticed this about your character, or I was just thinking about this great memory we had together. You would be amazed how many people, where it's not part of their regular vocabulary, to tell people that they like them. And it's the number one way to build closeness and a warm connection. It's called expressing liking. So you can't just believe the best and keep it inside. You actually have to say something nice to people.
Yeah, I played that out because we're in this little, it's a little group, and we just had this huge appreciation dinner. And the woman who did all this food saved us like $1,000 in catering. You know, she always feels like this whole little group is fractured. There's two groups really kind of, I don't know, not playing nice together. So I went up to her and I said her name and I said, Becky. And I made her look at me and I said, thank you so much for doing all this work. You know, and I just said, listen, this woman is going to know that I'm not a part of these two little groups. I'm for the group. And, you know, it was a weird moment, but it was a good moment. And
she not used to people saying nice things to her?
No, not at all.
See, I love that. Is a wonderful.
Yeah. No, this
poor
woman.
That you made her look at you.
You've got to be aware of these moments you can grab onto and not be so, you know, dragged into all the other undercurrents. And I'm fighting against just getting taken in by some of this little silliness and craziness. And this takes work, Heather. This is work.
Well, it takes work, but the results will be so profound. So if you're listening and maybe you haven't complimented your children or your spouse or a neighbor, it's so wonderful to just, you know, say something nice and see the impact it has on your closeness. And especially if you have a teen daughter or a son where you just haven't given them a happy comment lately about something that you value about them, it's going to go so far. And I'm a college professor. I see the impact when you look at a student and say, hey, I noticed this about you, or I was thinking about you the other day and this thing that you did. They just light up, Donna. It's like you're filling up their tank when you say something nice.
It's so beautiful. Okay, give us our third one.
Well, the third one is express concern. And I think if you're really good at curiosity and you're good at believing the best, some people aren't good at expressing concern because they're overwhelmed. They don't want to take on people's problems. But what I mean by expressing concern is what the research calls mutual investment. It means that you're invested in what happens to people.
Yeah.
And I encourage people to just know a couple things about your friends or people you want to be close to. What are their major stressors for the week? So you can say something like, you know, I know it's a new week. You know, what's your biggest stressor? What if you asked, you know, what thought is keeping you up at night? Or, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. I'm just dying to know when you wake up in the morning, like, what's the first thought going through your head? Because you'll know what people are worried about. The last thing is just to be aware of what people are trying to make upcoming decisions about. I met with a trauma expert, and she told me that asking people about decision making is such a blessing to them because it's stressful for the brain to be always making decisions, and people have decision fatigue. So with my friends, if I say, tell me about a decision you're trying to make, it's a wonderful way of enacting Galatians 6, where you carry one another's burdens. And think about Romans 12. the command to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Donna, I didn't know these things about my neighbors. I didn't know them about my students or even in my family. So expressing concern, you might even need to write it down if you're older like I am. And then the next week say, hey, how did that project go you were working on? Or I know you were nervous about that job interview, or I know you had that medical test, or I know you had that decision you were trying to make. How did that go? That's going to be a way to build a warm connection by expressing concern about people's lives. And that actually leads into the last mindset is really share your life. I encourage people listening to know those three things for your own life. So if your friend says, what about you? You know what your major stressor is for the week. You know what thought is keeping you up at night. You know what major decisions you have to make. Because if you're like me, Donna, I can do curiosity. I can believe the best. I can even express concern. But that's not a conversation. That's an interview.
Yeah.
I have to share my life. Do you find that that's an area that for growth like it is for me?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is definitely an area. And I guess it's trusting people with the information. I guess maybe that's where I'm at right now. I don't trust a lot of people with information about me. I just feel like they're going to take it and start spinning it or use it as fodder. Oh, did you know about Donna? Did you know about?
Yeah.
And it's just, I guess, I've got to grow in there. I've got to get a few things that maybe I don't, you know, care deeply about or can't be really used to, you know, be spun to be able to share with other people that I don't trust completely at that
moment.
Right,
I understand. There's some wisdom there, but for me, it is definitely also in the area of believing the best because sometimes I get really suspicious about people. Like, if I tell them this, how are they going to use it? But I like that idea of having some things you can share that still make you feel close to people, but it won't, especially if you're a public figure or someone people like would know who you are, Donna, you may have to exercise more caution in those areas. I mean, if ever I have to speak to high profile people, they say the same thing. Like, I can share my life, but only up to a certain point. And so I understand that. So people may be listening thinking, well, I'm not exactly going to share sensitive information about my work, but you can share things like, well, here's what I'm making for dinner tonight, or pray for me. I'm not sleeping well. It doesn't have to be, you know, super vulnerable to get the results to have that warm connection. So once those four mindsets are in place, you are on your way to having warm and loving connections to invest in your physical, mental, and spiritual health.
And I also feel myself going, you know what, stay in that moment of, if I don't get a payback for any of this, I'm still okay. Like if I effort into these four things and I still don't get people asking about me, I still, you know, don't have people believing the best about me, or, you know, it's just, that's where I guess I got to be okay. It's like, nope, the Lord's going to take this. He's going to honor it and he's going to be glorified by it.
He will. And you're modeling biblical principles. And I'm in a very difficult work environment sometimes. Obviously, I'm with people that believe very different things. And I'm just really honest. These are the things I'm learning about a warm connection. What do you think about this? You know, teach people. I love having warm connections. I'm going to ask you some questions, and then I can't wait to see what you're going to ask me next. So it can create sort of a revolution, I call it a conversation revival. Because, you know, companies and churches go through this material, so everyone is practicing this together.
I think it's worth the effort. I'm finding that out. It really is worth the effort, you know. And then it's so fun, too, where he sends people in your life who do all these things for you when you least expect it. Do you ever find that, Heather?
I do. And he knows your particular situation, and often he'll send people into my life that are a gift to me for warm connections. So, but they often look different than I think they'll look. They're not people I expect. So just be aware in your natural pathways of living, it's no accident where you live and work. that there might be people there that God has designed for you to have a wonderful, warm connection with. So to not discriminate against the old or the young or, you know, whatever that person looks like. So I have a great connection with my 8-year-old neighbor. She comes over every day now to sit on the tree swing, and she'll say, "Mrs. Holloman, I have something I need to tell you." Because I've learned to ask questions in the 6 categories of what it means to be human, and then I can figure out what she likes to talk about. So I always know how to start the conversation with her and where to go next. And as a result, she feels so warmly connected to me. She's always popping over, wanting to share her life. And, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, I love connecting with 80, 90-year-olds and asking them questions that I think will bless them. So it's so much fun to live this way.
It is. And it's just, it's like a delight and a kind of an adventure. I agree with that. They show up in really unique places. Like, I'd been wanting to just kind of pour my life into someone and, you know, just kind of share what I know with them. And I had this one gal and I thought, well, maybe she'd want to be, you know, kind of encouraged along the way. But nope, she just basically said, nope, I don't want to do any collaboration with you, because she's an author trying to get her book going, and I just was going to, you know, come alongside and help her. So I said, okay, you know what, Lord, you're right. But then out of the blue, another gal, my friend or my daughter's friend, called me and said, "Hey, Mrs. Leland, could you mentor me in voice work?"
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I thought, okay, you were the one that I'm supposed to be pouring my life into in this
area. Well, I love that.
You know, so it's like, okay, Lord, I had this, like, desire to help someone along the way and bring up a new generation, you know, of communicators. It is quite the adventure.
It is, because when you say to the Lord, "I'm willing to do this, this is what I know is how you designed us to live," you can even pray, "God, send me to people, send people to me, open my eyes." And one of my favorite parts of writing the 6 conversations is the part about doing it by faith. Just asking the Holy Spirit, what questions should I ask this person? Or really praying and taking steps of faith. I make a joke that my husband is really proof of concept for this book, because he's an introvert who doesn't think, you know, really well on his feet. And by his own admission, that he thought, okay, I'm never going to, you know, be this great conversationalist. But every day he just takes steps of faith and enters into the lives of our neighbors. He has more dinner invitations than I do with neighbors wanting to hang out with him and, you know, the guys wanting to hang out, because he just is going out asking really good questions and they end up asking about him, and he's getting all those warm connections, and he gets to share his faith a lot because of these warm connections.
Talking with Heather Holloman, author of The 6 Conversations, Pathways to Connecting in an Age of Isolation and Incivility by Moody Publishers. And you know, Heather, we haven't even touched on those 6 conversations that really your book digs into. So actually, we're going to have you back on the next Mark and Friends next Thursday and dig a little deeper on how to have great conversations.
Thank you so much, Donna. This has been a great conversation.
Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations.